The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
As we began to see yesterday, in order to experience the abundant life here and now, we must be led by the Spirit of God. There are many spirits in the world, most of which will lead us very far from the kingdom of God. Join us today as we continue to learn about the importance of being led by the Spirit, and we ultimately see that the Spirit of God will always lead us in accordance with the Word of God.
Be thou my
I tell you again, verse 28 is not what the world says it is. God's not out there orchestrating everything that happens and causing sin to come upon you and suffering. But beloved, He's working in the midst of it. He's working in the midst of it. And by the way, no matter what happens to you here, one day you're going to be with Him. You know, I like that. Days like today, I need that. Days like today, I need that. He says, going back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, he said, "If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But now listen to this. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Now that's an interesting term, isn't it? That's mortify. That term literally means to put to death. Literally means to kill, or even can be used to murder. You've got to put some things to death as a child of God. That word's used in another place over in Colossians chapter 3. Over there in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 1, again, he's speaking to children of God. If ye then be risen with Christ, okay, that sounds like a child of God to me, right? You then, you and I, he's talking to us. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Okay, this is an interesting admonition. He's saying, in the midst of your struggle here in this life, don't have a horizontal vision. Don't just be looking around you all the time, and because if you do, you're going to get depressed and you're going to get oppressed in your mind by the things going on in the world. He said, seek those things which are above. You know, I've preached on this before. Are you looking up or are you looking around? You know, I know we have to see the things that are going on around us, but in the midst of that, are we looking up? Because if we're looking around and trying to, you know, some people read Romans 8:28, say God's working everything out, everything. He's working, doing this and doing that, and you don't know his secret will. Well, his secret will doesn't help me too much, does it? Because if it's secret, I can tell you, God can keep a secret, and you're not going to find it out. He said, quit worrying about that. Quit worrying about what you see going on around you, and look up. Look at me. He said, if you're risen with me, look to me. When Christ, verse 4, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Paul keeps talking about this glory, you know. Isn't that something? He keeps talking about this glory. We're going to see it as we go through chapter 8 of Romans. He's really focused on that. That must be something we need to know a little bit about. There's going to be a glory. There's a glory that we're going to have one day that we already can experience a little bit of here. And look at verse 5. Now, here's that word mortify. Mortify, therefore, your members. When you see a therefore, you've got to ask what it's there for. And what it's there for is to point you to what's gone before. He's saying to us, not in order to get to the point where we're risen with Christ, but because you are risen with Christ, you need to mortify, put to death your members, that is, the things that are in your body, which are upon the earth, and now he names them. Fornication, which is just any sexual activity outside of marriage. Uncleanness, which is just the nastiness of sin, if you will, the sinfulness out there. Inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. And he goes on to talk about that. And by the way, he says, verse 7, in which you also walked sometime when you lived in them, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, lie not one to another. He said, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. In other words, because you're a child of God, you need to act like it. He's made you his child. Now you need to live like it, you see. There's another place, I believe it's Galatians chapter 5, where he uses the term crucify. He says, we're crucified. We should crucify our flesh. You know, I've heard Brother Buddy Abernathy say this before. Crucifixion is a slow, painful death. Most painful, okay? So painful they had to make up a word to describe the pain. The word excruciating means cross-like. You know, that word, excruciating, points us to crucifixion. But the point is that you say, preacher, it's hard to crucify the flesh. Amen. That's the point. It is hard, but we have to do that. And that's why we need the leading of the Spirit. Back in Romans chapter 8, for as many, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, here we see that those who are children of God are led in some fashion by the Spirit of God. So what kind of leading are we talking about here? Well, first of all, we need his leading in our lives in so many ways. Jesus said over in John chapter 14, I believe around verse 16, he said, I will pray the Father and he will send you another comforter. Comforter. That's the Greek word parakletos. Parakletos. Some of our Catholic friends call the Holy Spirit the paraclete. But the word parakletos means simply the one who comes up beside you and helps you to bear the burden. That's literally what it means. Coming up beside you and helping you in this life. You know, there are times when I've been called on as pastor very often to help somebody bear a burden. But I was called upon this past week to help, or I was needed. I wasn't called upon, but I was needed. I found out later this past week, but I was out of town. I couldn't do it. I couldn't get there. Beloved, I want to help you. I will be there for you. You call upon me. I will help you if I can. If I can, you know, I will try to swim the river. I will try to bridge the gap. I will try to do whatever I can. I'll drive however long it takes. If you really need me, I would be glad to do that. But I can't always get there. Sometimes I'm providentially hindered, as we say. Something gets in the way. Sometimes I just don't know. Sometimes I'm too sick. You know, I need help too sometimes. But here's the point. I can't always be there. You can't always be there for one another. You can't always be there for me. But the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, the Comforter, is always there. Always for us. He comes up beside you. You know what a blessing it is? I've been in the situation before where I was working, trying to fix something, trying to get something going. And somebody came up and said, "Hey, can I help you with that?" Yeah, it just... My heart melted, you know. It just, my spirit was elated, you know. They didn't have to do it. They just came up and they said, "Let me help you." And that's what the Holy Ghost does for us. He helps us bear our burdens. We need His leading. We need Him so much. Back over in Acts chapter 1, particularly we find that we need Him in the context of the church. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, let's just back up to verse 3. He's talking about Jesus here. He said, "He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." And by the way, that's not talking about some future kingdom. That's talking about the kingdom that was here and now, the kingdom we're in right now. The visible aspect of that kingdom is the church. It says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but listen to this, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." I think last Sunday we talked about this. What you have here is the church all ready to go. The old ship of Zion in the harbor with the sails open, the sails down, the sails furled, and it's ready to launch out into the deep, if you will. He said, "You wait for the wind. You wait for the Spirit," you see. He said, "You can't go and do anything in the kingdom of God without the Spirit of God." And, you know, there's some organizations out there that, I'm not saying they aren't blessed in some ways of God, but beloved, the church of God is a supernatural thing. It's not an organization, it's an organism. And it has Christ as its head and the Spirit as its comforter, the Spirit as its helper, you see. And he said, "You wait here." He said, and back in Luke chapter 24, he said, "I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. You wait in Jerusalem until then." And then guess what happened in Acts chapter 2? Here came that Spirit. It said in Acts chapter 2 that, you know the story there. He said, suddenly in verse 2, on the day of Pentecost, there came from heaven a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Beloved, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That was not the new birth. Peter was already a child of God. He'd already been born again. He just needed the Spirit to lead him. You see, we need that in the church. We need this as churches and as individuals. You know, if you turn, we're not going to turn there because our time's getting short, but turn sometime over to Acts chapter 13 and look at those first three verses there. And they needed leading as to who to send. They needed the leading of the Spirit as to who to ordain, to send out, Barnabas and all them over there. You see, they needed help with that. We need it today. We don't just ordain anybody that comes up here and says they've got a calling of God. You know, we have to be led. We have to pray about that. We have to observe them. And you know, a man can't just come up and say, "I'm a preacher now. I've decided I've elected to become a preacher as my occupation." You know, a preacher that, somebody that does that, you better be careful about them, okay? It's a calling into the ministry. There's a burden there. There's a burden that you have if you've been called into the ministry. And I've known a few men in my life that I'm not sure they were actually called, but they struggled. And I mean some sincere men. They tried. Oh, I feel so sorry for them, because I can tell you the burden of the ministry is not something a man can do on his own. It's something that he has to be led of the Spirit. He has to be blessed of the Spirit. We need leadership as to who to send. Paul needed leadership as to where to go. He essayed to go into Bithynia, and God said through the Spirit forbade him. He wanted to go to Asia. He wanted to go here. He wanted to go there. The Holy Spirit prevented him. But then over in Macedonia, he saw a vision. Now, I'm not talking, Lord, don't get me wrong. The Lord's not leading me through visions. That's not what I'm talking about. If you have a vision, that's okay. If you have a dream, but you better check it by the Scriptures, okay? You better be careful about that. I've known some men too, Brother Mackey, that had a lot of dreams that caused a lot of trouble in churches. But my point is in his case, the Spirit led him to Macedonia. He said, come on over and help us, brother. And he went, you see. But more importantly, and this is kind of where I want to close out this morning, we need his leading, the Spirit's leading about what to preach. We need to be led of the Spirit in what we preach. Now, before you get too nervous about saying, oh, you're saying the Lord just speaks to you and tells you new truth and new things to preach, look with me over in the book of Galatians for a moment. In the first chapter, Paul throws down the gauntlet. I don't know of any preacher that enjoys preaching bluntly or harshly, okay? And any preacher that preaches harshly, you better be careful of them too, because most of the time they're not preaching the truth in love. But there are times we have to take a stand. There are times, you don't hear me talking about other denominations, and I mean, other than just mentioning them generally out there. I know we have to point out that there's untruth in the world. But primarily what we're supposed to be preaching is the truth. But I want you to listen to what Paul told the Galatians in verse 6 of chapter 1. He said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, I just want to say to you, this is, as I said, this is where we want to kind of end up this morning. We need to be careful about what we preach from the pulpit. And I say we, all of us. I know I'm the preacher, but you need to be listening. You need to be holding me to account. The Bereans over there were more noble than the others because they searched the Scriptures daily to see if those things were preached to them were true. And Paul says, there is a gospel. There's the good news out there, but you don't need to be moved away from it. And in fact, he says, you're moved to another gospel, verse 7, which is not another. And that's a good point right there, Brother Mackey, because I'll tell you, the gospel that there's something that you must do and I must do in order to complete the eternal transaction of salvation is not good news. If I've got to make the right choices, if I've got to live in the right way, if I've got to hold on or let go or do something else in addition to the work of Christ in order to become a child of God so that I might be in heaven one day, that is bad news to me. Because I can tell you, beloved, I fail in that regard every day. Now, I don't say that, bro. I say that to my shame. I'm ashamed to stand here and have to confess. If I had to confess to you all the things that I've done this very week, all the thoughts I've had, the ways I've responded to things, then, beloved, I'd just slink on out the back and never come back. Praise God, I don't have to confess it to you, just to him, you know. But I'll tell you this, that would not be good news to me. That would be bad news. Chris, you got to live up to the standard. You got to live up to the standard in order to go to heaven. Oh, my goodness. I don't even come close. Because you see, the standard isn't what men think it is. It's not Brother Mackey or Brother Glendon or Brother Byron or anybody else out there. The standard is Christ. The standard is utter perfection. That means that if you break one law, and I've broken more than one, then you are not worthy of eternal salvation. You're a lawbreaker. That's why we had to have Christ come down and keep the law perfectly and be our substitute, you see. And he says, don't be moved away from the gospel to another gospel, which is not another. He said, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But listen to this. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And in case we didn't get it the first time, he said, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. In other words, the words of God were God-breathed. They were brought under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. What Paul has given us here, if we preach anything other than that, then we should. Then if I'm standing up here preaching something to you that's not found in the Scripture, then I'm going to be accursed. And you don't need to believe it if it's not in the Scripture. See, we're to be led by the Spirit, and the Spirit will always lead us directly in accordance with the Word of God. You say, preacher, you're saying that you've got to have the leading of the Spirit to be able to preach. Yes, I do. I need His leading. But I promise you one thing. If I ever preach to you something that's contrary to the Word of God, you can know one thing for sure. I wasn't being led by the Spirit that day. Because the Spirit of God will never lead us in opposition to His Word. I want to read Brother Joe Holder again. He said, the Holy Spirit's leading is precise and predictable. The criteria for knowing that the Holy Spirit is leading, as opposed to our own self-serving motives or desires, will always appear in the consistency of our conduct with inspired Scripture. A private impression or feeling that goes contrary to Scripture is no more right than some kind of mystical burning in the bosom. The Holy Spirit's leading will always lead us to honor His work in the Scripture. You see, there's a lot of things that we might think we want to do and we might feel good about in our hearts, but Jeremiah tells us that we got a problem with our hearts. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, he said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, Lydia Abernathy Purrington now, and I always kidded when she was a member here and growing up here. We always had this long-running joke. Sherry would send cards out for their birthdays, and I'd always, on her card, I'd always write, follow your heart, you know. And she'd always, if she had the opportunity, she'd say, oh, Brother Chris, follow your heart, you know, knowing that you don't need to follow your heart. That was the point. Because I've been preaching that since I've been here, as most of you know. Don't follow your heart. Your heart will lead you to destruction. Your heart is deceitful. Follow the Word of God. And if you want to know how the Spirit, if it's the Spirit leading you, then check it by the Word of God. Back when I worked for C.O. Burkhalter as an attorney, we did all kinds of stuff, including domestic relations, divorce work. And he had me to interview a lady one time who came in wanting to get a divorce from her husband. And as I conducted the interview, I realized she told me she had met somebody else. She had met a new man, and that was the reason she wanted the divorce. And I wasn't a preacher then. I might respond differently now to her than I did then. I don't really remember what I told her. But she made this statement. She said, I know the Lord has led me to this other man. Now, like I said, I don't remember, Brother Glennon, what I told her. I wish I could. And I wish I could say that I told her right. I don't know if I did back then. But I'll tell you this, if she said that to me today, I'd say, lady, don't tell that tale on God. That ain't God. That ain't the Spirit leading you. Because He's not going to lead you contrary to His Word. You know, that's why an absolute devotion to and an adherence to Scripture is essential in our discipleship walk. Article 2 of Zion Primitive Baptist Church's Articles of Faith says, we believe that the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament are the Word of God and the only rule of faith and practice. Some believe that Scripture plus the historical teachings of the church, or Scripture plus some pronouncements of the clergy, are authoritative. Some look to their favorite confession of faith. But beloved, as Brother Joe Holder puts it, once a professing Christian leaves the authority of sola scriptura, that is, of Scripture alone, not Scripture plus anything else, they've left the reliable foundation of truth and will eventually fall into an error that Scripture rejects. So, as I said this morning, I wanted to talk about adoption, but we'll get to that next time. This morning, though, let's take away from this that we should be led by the Spirit. But as many, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They, in other words, they manifest that they are children of God. It doesn't mean we always get perfection. We don't get it perfectly. We don't always get it right. But as children of God, we ought to be led by the Spirit of God. And ultimately, that means that we're going to be following the Word of God. So I hope this has been helpful to you this morning. Continue to pray as we go through this, because I'm getting excited about getting closer and closer to the climax of this whole book, when it tells us ultimately where our hope lies, which is in the finished work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I appreciate your kind attention this morning.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.